Okay. So good morning, everyone. It's May 12th. Welcome to the Housing and Transportation Committee meeting. Sandy Stang chairing the meeting. It will be recorded. And it's 9:30. And we'll start with the pledge. And Jerry, if you'd like to lead us in the pledge.
Okay, let's stand up. I pledge all the allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much, Jerry. And then we'll do roll call. Is Linda?
I don't see Linda.
Is Linda on
that? I can go ahead and do that for you if you like.
Thank you.
I can do it.
Okay, Elizabeth.
Okay, let me just get out the. Okay, Charlene Ashendorf.
Present.
Linda Barcelona is not here. Denise Barnes.
Present.
Elizabeth Busick, present. Helen Cameron.
Present.
Emilia Castro.
Present.
Jerry Chang.
Present.
Gene Hernandez. I think he's up in Alaska.
Yeah, he's going to be absent.
Uh-huh. Juno Kim.
I saw Juno. Him.
Hello.
Must have muted himself.
I think he muted.
Yeah. Okay, but we all see him. He's right there. Carol Moore.
Present.
Aminas and Matthews.
Amina is no longer a part of this committee, actually.
Oh, that's of course. You're right. Sandy Stang.
Present.
And Cynthia Thacker.
Here.
Okay. All right.
Just a quick update. Juno, I'm going to mute you throughout the meeting, just so that you're aware. If you need to speak, just unmute yourself. There is an echo when you're unmuted. So I will go ahead and mute you for now. If you need to speak, just unmute at that point.
And just a reminder, everyone should probably mute until it's your turn to speak so we don't have any background music noise and so the phones don't ring also. Action items. AB 61, review and make findings required by government code subsection 54953E3. Recommendation, continual virtual meetings due to the proclaimed state of the emergency arising from COVID-19. Meeting in person presents imminent risk to the health and safety of attendees, and the emergency continues to directly impact the ability of the members to meet safely in person. So need a motion and a second from the
floor. I so move.
Thank you.
Carol Moore.
Carol moved. And the second is?
I'm second.
Thank you, Jerry. It's a second. And then we'll need to take a vote on that, right, Desiree?
Correct. Charlene Ashendorf?
Yes.
Linda Barcelona? Denise Barnes?
Yes.
Elizabeth Busick?
Yes.
Helen Cameron?
Yes.
Amelia Castro? Amelia, I believe. Oh, there you go.
Yes.
Thank you. Jerry Chang?
Yes.
Gene Hernandez, not present. Juno Kim? I see a thumbs up. Carol Moore?
Aye.
Sandy Stang?
Yes.
And Cynthia Thacker? I believe Cynthia was here. Cynthia, you're muted if you can hear us. Okay, well, that is majority chair.
Okay, thank you. It's not really my fault because I told everybody to mute and I should have waited to say that. Number five, the senior non-emergency medical transportation report.
Hello, everyone. I will read that out in just a moment. Just wanted to apologize. I'm actually in a conference here and they don't have any additional rooms. So I'm kind of standing out here in the hallway. So excuse my background and if you hear any background noise. So this report is for the month of February for our housing and transportation. For Area 1, the trips provided were a total of 2,420. Area 2, 2,338. Area 3, there was a total of 4,087. Average cost per trip for Area 1 was $49.50. Average cost per trip for Area 2, which is South County, was $45.73, and Area 3, it was $42.30. That's Central, North Central County. Average trips, trip length was 5.84 miles for Area 1. Area 2, 8.44. Area 3, 5.01. Average cost per mile was $8.48 for Area 1. $5.42 for Area 2, and Area 3, it was $8.44. And that concludes the SNEMT reporting on my end. Thank you.
Thank you, Farah. Does anyone have any questions for Farah on the Senior Non-Emergency Medical Transportation Report? Okay, I don't see anything. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule. I appreciate it.
Not a problem at all. It's okay. My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. And I forgot to change her name on the report from Jeanette, so we have to get that right for next time. Number six, we have the presentation from OCTA and TCA updates. And Amelia, is she on? Do you want to go first?
Sure.
And then introduce yourself, because we don't have Jean here to introduce you. Just a little bit about you or your background or whatever.
Okay, sure. Good morning, Chair and committee members. My name is Amelia Xu, and I am from the marketing department at the Orange County Transportation Authority. So I project manage marketing programs such as the 91 Express Lanes. And so today I'm going to give you an overview on the Express Lanes.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to share my screen. Can everyone see my screen?
Yes.
Perfect. Okay. 91 Express Lanes is a four-lane, 18-mile toll road in Orange and Riverside counties. It is located in the medium of State Route 91 between the 55 and 91 interchange and 91 and 15 interchange. OCTA acquired the Express Lanes franchise rights in 2003. And in 2017, RCTC, which is the Riverside County Transportation Commission, received authority to extend the Express Lanes into Riverside County. So currently, the 91 Express Lanes is jointly managed by OCTA and RCTC. The 91 Express Lanes toll policy is known as something called congestion management pricing. So what it does is that toll rates are adjusted based on the numbers of vehicles on the toll roads. And this is to in order to maintain a free flow commute at all times. That's why you can notice that tolls vary by times of day and days of week. And depending on the times of day, commuters reported saving at least 30 minutes on average when they travel the express lanes. And HOV 3 plus, which is carpools with three or more occupants, are free except for super peak hours, which are Mondays to Fridays from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. on eastbound travel. During those times, tolls are 50% off regular tolls for HOV 3 plus. And there are three entry points and three exit options for both directions of the 91 Express Lanes. Exiting or entering the 91 Express Lanes at points other than those designated is illegal. So there are three account types to choose from based on your needs. Standard plan is based is best for frequent users. Convenience plans is best for occasional users. And there's also something called the special access plan for qualifying users, such as HOV 3 plus, motorcycles, zero emission vehicles, and disabled individuals. So once the accounts are chosen and the accounts open, a sticker transponder or a switchable transponder will be mailed out with detailed installation instructions. Every vehicle traveling on the express lanes is required to have a properly mounted transponder. And how do we open an account? There are many ways to open an account. The easiest way is to go to the website at 91expresslanes.com to submit an application. Or there are options to open an account by phone or in person as well. We have two offices in person. One is in Corona, that's our Corona Customer Service Center, and one is the OCTA store in Orange. Lastly, I would like to close the presentation with a video. So this video really shows the benefits of the 91 Express Lanes and what we really want our customers to enjoy, which is to take you wherever you want to go for your life's precious moments, whether it's job site, family function, doctor's appointments, and so on and so forth, without being stuck on traffic.
I have no audio.
I don't either. I can see the pictures, but no sound.
Oh, there's no audio for you guys?
Right, none.
We tested out and it had audio. You know what? I can send out the link to Desiree and share with everyone if that's okay.
Okay, you don't think you can fix it?
I can try. I tested this morning and it worked.
There's an arrow on our, do we have to check this arrow on our computer?
I tried, it didn't work.
Oh, okay, yeah, I just tried it, didn't either.
Can you try playing again, Amelia?
Sure.
Proud of me as you are today. for the rest of your life.
Thank you, sweetie. You're the best.
No matter how many times I watch the video, it makes me tear every time. So as you can see from the video, what we really want to achieve is to provide alternative travel options for people to get to where they want to be that matters the most. So that's really what we want to do for us 91 Express Links. We don't want people to stuck on traffic. We want them to get to wherever they want to go. So that concludes my presentation. Thank you.
Okay, and let's take questions then for Amelia. I can't see yet because I've said, I'll ask you a question while we're getting
okay.
You said if there's three or more in the car, is it free all the time or just
it's free? It's free most of the time. The only time that's not free is Mondays through Fridays from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. That's why we pick the super peak hours. That's only on eastbound travel. At that time, it's 50% off.
Okay. So in order to use that, you'd still have to go in and get the sticker transponder?
Yes.
Okay.
Every vehicle traveling on the Express Lanes is required to have transponders.
Okay. And then I saw the one portion where it said disabled veterans. Does that include all disabled people? Do they have to have the disabled license plate?
They do. You will have to submit some related documents to be qualified for the accounts.
Okay. So do they ride for free once they've submitted all the paperwork?
Yes. So ride for free as well, except for the super peak hours.
Okay.
Which is 50% off.
Okay. Got it. All right. Who else has a question?
See, Ms. Cameron.
Thank you. Do you have plans for expansion as the housing impacts grow from Inland Empire? Is there any way to expand the services?
I'm sure that's in the works, but we just expanded the Riverside portion 5 years ago. Actually, this year is their 5-year anniversary. So originally, the 91 Express Lanes with OCTA is only 10 miles, and we just expanded that 8 miles to the Riverside County. So right now it's 18 miles. All the 91 Express Lanes assets revenue is going back to all the improvements during the corridor. So at OCTA, there's something called Project J and Project, there are two project members that every year we have different goals to put the investment back to the corridors, whether it is construction, you know. So it hasn't been any talk for that, but I'm sure, you know, we'll look into it.
Well, I think one of the issues for our committee is we're looking at correlations between housing and transportation. And as we see increase in workforce needs and people moving further away from the locations where they work, we want to have thoughtful conversations about the intersections between these two topics. So
Okay. That's
part of the reason we're that we meet, and we are seeing the impacts of increased housing needs, particularly in the coastal communities. But we find that the workforce is coming more from Inland Empire areas. So their ability to pay for an express lane pass is perhaps more problematic than for many of the families that you illustrated in your video.
Understand. I'll definitely take your point. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Yeah, there are two of us. Carol's first.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Elizabeth. I want to thank you. Oh, darn. Just a second here. Can you hear me? Oh, there we are. Yeah. I lost my where I was. I wanted to thank you. I wanted to thank OCTA, actually, totally, because it just so happens I attended a conference last week and I left on Sunday, even though I did not use the express lane itself, because it took the load off the rest of the highway. And I didn't realize that I could have used it. I do have a transponder, but I think the price is very high too. So I tend not to spend that money. But I want to tell you that it did decrease the flow. It was very noticeable. And I left on a Sunday. And so according to the information you just provided, I could have been over there, but I didn't need to be because they had, that was kind of like a safety valve. They took off numbers. And then I returned on Friday afternoon. And Friday afternoon, I thought, oh my gosh, I'm going to be in this terrible mess. And I want to tell you again, I am so impressed with OCTA. You stayed ahead of the curve in so many ways. It's difficult. I understand that. And I'm not a person that wants to add a lot of highways, believe it or not. I like to move people very efficiently. And adding more highways isn't necessarily the best way to do that. However, in this instance, it truly did work, and I found it to be quite helpful. And I'm pleased to know that I live in a county where we have Measure M, and people have understood that we have to maintain the things. Thank you so much for the fine work done by OCTA.
Thank you so much.
Next, was that your hand, Elizabeth?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
I have two things. One is a question as to, how old is that video?
That video was filmed about 5 years ago.
Uh-huh. The reason I ask is it's all Caucasians. And if it were done more recently, it would be people of all colors and shapes. Okay.
I agree. And that video was filmed before we did the RCTC extension, where we have more Hispanic populations from the Riverside County. So all the promotions and campaigns we did afterwards, or even the annual report, we do have a mix of populations in there.
I'm sure, yeah. Okay, now for my question. I don't pay any money into this program because I virtually don't use it. But let's say there was some emergency and I did have to use it. What do I do?
So that happened to me actually one time, I believe it or not, that at that time I did not manage the Express Lanes program. I did not have a transponder. I don't really usually travel there. But one time we were traveling on the eastbound and I said, wow, there's so much traffic. Can I actually go in? But I don't have a transponder. So I actually call our operations just to make sure that I can go in. Like, is there like a one-time excuse thing? So there is. So if, you know, this is not encouraged. Like, you know, we want everybody to have a transponder. But if you absolutely have to, we do have a one-time thing where you can call afterwards to our customer service center, and you just have to pay the toll rate, the tolls during that time, but we will not give you a ticket.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Other questions? I somehow can't see anybody anymore. Any other questions? Okay. Well, thank you. That was a very good presentation. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
I hadn't heard an update on that one in a long time. It was very good.
Thank you.
But, I just want to say, I think Helen's point is very well taken about, you know, more and more people are moving out that way. Yeah. And this is going to cause a problem which needs to be addressed. I think Helen's point was very well mentioned.
Yes, very good. Okay, and then our next presentation will be from Jeff Bott from TCA.
Thank you, Sandy. Good morning, everyone, chair and committee members. Really appreciate the opportunity to provide you with an update this morning on the toll roads of Orange County, just to give you a little bit of explanation of how we differ from the Orange County Transportation Authority. Orange County Transportation Authority built and manages the 91 express lanes, and the Transportation Corridor Agencies built, financed, and operates State Routes 73, 133, 241, and 261. Thankfully, we all use Fast Track, so there's many different toll agencies in California, and we all have an interoperability agreement that we use the Fast Track, so we don't need 10 or 12 different transponders. And I'm going to share my screen here, but first I want to compliment Amelia on her excellent presentation. Great job. Thought the video was great, and you did an outstanding job giving your update. Everybody can see that okay?
Yes, thank you.
I'm Jeff Bott. I'm the community engagement manager for the toll roads. I've been doing that for a number of years, go out into the community and explain all of our projects and initiatives. Cal State Fullerton graduate in communications, love Orange County, and happy to be here with you today. I just wanted to give you a little bit of history about the toll roads, why they actually are toll roads. You know, toll roads are kind of a thing from back east. They're not really a thing for California 30 years ago. We were the land of the freeways. We were famous for our freeways, and suddenly we have toll roads. And why is that? The reason is we had a population explosion in the 70s and 80s. A lot of people loving Orange County, wanting to live here, commute here, rather than having it be a bedroom community, people wanted to stay here and commute here. And it projected another million people. We had 2 million people here in Orange County in 1981, with another million projected over the next 20 years, which is what we have now. County planners wanted to do something about that to save us from total gridlock. So they put routes 73, 133, 241, and 261 on the county's long-range transportation plans to accommodate for the expected growth. And then came the challenge. California stopped building freeways, and there was no federal or state funding available to build freeways anymore. Federal gas tax revenues were drying up as people switched to more economical cars, and California just didn't have the funding to build freeways anymore. So thankfully, our Orange County cities got together, said we need a plan B. We can't just do nothing. That's unacceptable. We've got another million people here. We love our quality of life, our air quality. We can't just have the 5, the 55, and the 57, and the 91. We've got to have some other capacity, but there's no money, so what do we do? So they thought, well, how about we experiment with toll roads? They worked back east. They weren't really sure if people were willing would be willing to pay a toll to drive a freeway here. It was kind of an unknown, but they did go to the California State Legislature in 1986 and asked the California State Legislature for the authority to build roads as toll roads, sell bonds on the open market to pay for the roads, and the tolls would go back to pay off the roads and the bonds used to it. When we did that, we decided to keep the control local rather than have Sacramento or the federal government take over these toll roads. We said, well, if you can't build the freeways, we'll do it for you, but we want to keep the control local because no one knows our area better than we do. So we have two separate boards of directors. One oversees the 241 toll road and one oversees the 73. Each city along the toll road route has a voice, a seat at the table, and a vote, as well as three county supervisors. That works very well when everybody has a say, sets the policy and the toll prices. The roads are financed by bonds and development impact fees. Very important part on this is that the bondholders assume the risk, which means that the toll roads are unable to make any of their bond payments. There will never be a taxpayer bailout or an Orange County bailout. The bondholders assume that risk. Thankfully, the toll roads are very financially strong, so we don't have to worry about that. One thing that people usually find interesting is a lot of people think that the toll roads, when they're paid off, that they revert to Caltrans and become part of the state highway after they're paid off. And in reality, we deed them, we turn them over to the state of California the very day they open to traffic, long before they're paid off. So they are actually owned and maintained by Caltrans and patrolled by State Highway Patrol. So with this model, Orange County has really provided the state of California with about $12 billion worth of new transportation infrastructure that otherwise could have never been built. The state wasn't going to do it. And today they represent 20% of Orange County's highway system at 420 lane miles, making them the largest network of toll roads in California. So the experiment that they weren't sure would work out actually did. today there are more than 3 million people in Orange County. So thank goodness they didn't raise their hands and say, well, it can't be freeway, so I guess we gave up. They did find a plan B. We have over 2.1 million fast track accounts, 330,000 trips a day on the 73 and the 241, about 5,000 average weekly signups. And we share that fast track that we developed with other tolling agencies across the state. We have some different payment options that differ from Orange County Transportation Authority and other toll agencies. We offer a frequent driver discount, and that is if you spend $40 a month in tolls, then the next month, every single toll is discounted by $1, which really adds up after a while. Other ways to pay other than the fast track, we might be the only toll road agency in California that allows you to pay without a fast track. Some people just drive it occasionally. I talk to people who just drive it once or twice a year. Tourists, business people that come here. So we offer the ability to pay with just your license plate and a credit card, as long as you do it within 5 days. You take the toll road, you go online to thetollroads.com, enter your car information and pay that toll within 5 days. The challenge for me, I don't know if I would remember the 5 days, I'd have to put it on my calendar or something to avoid a violation. Other than the fast track, which is about $30 in prepaid tolls, and then it replenishes your account every time you get to 10. We offer other in which we invoice you for the tolls or a single charge. For example, if you don't want a prepaid account, you just take the toll road and we charge your credit card each time you take it. So we have quite a few options for people to choose from. And I believe it's Carol or somebody mentioned, Carol Moore mentioned, great thing about our toll roads, you don't have to take them. Back east, that's pretty much all you have are the toll roads. We choose to drive them. And they all parallel the freeways. And this is a great picture that I took with a friend of mine in the car. I was not driving, but you choose this. So there's the 5 congested and there's that 73 right there. You can opt to take that. You don't have to take it. And everybody that doesn't want to take the toll road still benefits from the 300,000 people that do take the toll roads. It's a great option and alternative. I think Amelia mentioned, we love to provide people with transportation options and alternatives in the county. Toll roads of Orange County are just one part of a comprehensive plan for regional traffic mobility in the region. That's us there in the circle. California decided probably 20, 30 years ago, we can't just build our way out of congestion. So many people here, not a lot of open space. They have opted to manage congestion rather than build our way out of congestion. And that is through toll lanes, congestion pricing. As you can see here on the map, these are the other toll lanes other than ours. There's the 110 and 10 express lanes in LA, express lanes on the north and south 15, and then down south, not on the map, but there's toll lanes on the 125 in San Diego and the 15 express lanes. And the Orange County Transportation Authority is right now constructing toll lanes on the 405 to the 605. Should open, I believe, next year. Even though our toll roads are in Orange County, they are regional transportation lifelines. 40% of the users of the 241 every day are from the Inland Empire, do a lot of outreach in San Diego, LA, and the Inland Empire, and they all tell me how much they love the 241 and the 73. How are our finances? Our board has taken steps over the last few years to refund and refinance a lot of our bonds, take advantage of the low interest rates, and in doing so, they saved the agency over $600 million. That has helped us tremendously, especially with COVID. We lost 75% of our traffic during COVID. If you think about it, all of our roads parallel the freeways. They're typically some of the most congested freeways in the nation, and suddenly no one's on the freeways. So people certainly are not going to take the toll road. We have monthly payments to make on those bonds of about $100 million each per year on the 73 and the 241. So that reef money really helped us. Also helps us fund capital improvement projects with cash instead of issuing new debt. And I'll talk about some projects we're doing that shortly. I already talked about COVID. Our board really stepped in because we wanted to make sure we didn't lose our A and A minus credit ratings or jeopardize our reserve funds. So they shaved 51% in savings off of our budget during COVID. Saved about $77 million, and thankfully no one lost their jobs. And today all of the traffic has returned to the toll roads. When we built the toll roads, one of the priorities our board members had, elected officials, is we've got to make sure that we protect and preserve the environment. You're building new infrastructure, you're laying down concrete. We wanted to make sure we're not impacting wildlife. We want to create wildlife corridors and underpassings and really take care of the environment. Always been a priority of our agency. We set aside more than 2,000 acres in doing that when we built the roads. Those are just some of our mitigation sites, environmental sites, all along the corridors of the toll roads. Lots of wildlife crossings, wetlands, vegetation for endangered species. We built dozens of wildlife undercrossings to keep the animal fatalities almost to 0% on the toll roads. And boy, do those animals use them. We have little cameras. And you can always see little mountain lion families crossing them in the middle of the night. It's very cute. We built a wildlife fence along the 241, 10 feet high, 6 feet long, 6 miles long, and even six feet underground so they can't burrow and get onto the road. And that's been very effective for keeping wildlife off the toll roads. We started a cattle grazing program last year, which has been successful. Rather than using pesticides, we have cattle graze the lands. They eat all the noxious weeds and helps also with fire abatement. That's been a very successful program that we've started last year. Recent projects that we've worked on, we opened the Oso Parkway Bridge during COVID, which connects Oso Parkway on the 241 to Los Patronos Parkway, which takes you all the way down to the Ortega Highway area. And we did that without any new debt and paid cash for that project. I'm sure many of you have seen this in the last couple of months. We had such an issue on the 241-91 connector because that traffic does back up in the afternoons. People trying to get onto the 91, one of the most congested freeways in the entire nation. So traffic is backing up on the 241 for a couple of miles. And what was happening was impatient drivers who don't want to wait go on the west lane and go up as far as they can and try to cut in line on the 241, which creates a safety hazard. So we installed these channelizers, which are long tubular traffic cones to stop that. And now that has really helped with the queue jumpers, as we call them. We're gonna add some lanes on the 73 over the next 2 years. We're getting some congestion at the top of that where the toll point is. That's another project we'll pay for with cash. One thing you might be excited about that we're going to work in partnership with Orange County Transportation Authority, Riverside Transportation Commission, and Caltrans is we're going to construct a dedicated express connector lane in the median of the 241 that will fly over the 91 express lane, fly over the 91 freeway and drop into the 91 express lanes to help alleviate that backup that does occur on the 241, and people will choose to take that if they want to avoid that congestion. That's gonna start next year, costs over $300 million, and we'll pay for that in cash as well. And that's just part of a multi-million dollar regional transportation package that we're working with OCTA and Caltrans and Riverside with. OCTA is gonna add a lane from Green River to the 241. We're going to fix the 91-71 interchange, and then Riverside is going to continue the toll lanes on 15 North. Lots going on in that area over the next few years. Looking to the future, I think it was Carol or someone else did mention you can't just keep building roads. We don't have a lot of space, and we're certainly taking that into account. Our board's recently approved a 7-year strategic plan. Thankfully, when they designed and built the toll roads back in the 90s, they built them from the outside in rather from the inside out. If you've been on the 73 and the 241, you'll notice that there's huge, huge medians in the median. And that is for additional lanes or perhaps rapid transit. Maybe we do a bus rapid transit lane. Maybe one year there's automated connectable cars so the lane could be used. And we don't have to take houses or impact communities because we built them from the outside in. And they're already environmentally approved, most of that area. And we're looking at cool technology things too, like the road itself charging your electric vehicles where you don't even stop, where there's fibers in the pavement that charge your car through your tires. We're looking at that over the next several years. And some pretty neat things. Imagine a monorail going down the median of the 241. I mean, just imagine if we had that. I always kind of thought it was not a good idea to brand our roads the toll roads of Orange County. Originally, they were called the San Joaquin Hills, which is the 73, and the 241 is the Foothill Eastern. That's such a long name, so they just started calling them the toll roads. But in reality, our agency, the Transportation Corridor Agency, is that these were built as multimodal corridors. So I always kind of thought maybe we should have called them the 241 corridor and the 73 corridor instead of the toll roads. So lots going on with our agency. Really appreciate the opportunity to speak to you all today, and hope you'll have us back again.
Yes, that was fabulous. So much information. I don't know where we begin with our questions. So who is the first question?
Take my email in case you think of one later.
Great. Who has a question? I can't see any hands for some
reason. I have mine. Yeah, you know, Helen, Sandy, you can look over in the participants and you can see the hands there. Maybe it makes it easier for you. I did have a comment. I thank Jeff for a very fine report. I did speak earlier because we know that greenhouse gases are the things we're all talking about. And we know that transportation is the biggest single group that contributes to that greenhouse gas problem. So we have to, it's a serious problem. And of course, concrete is the second one. It's high in that group. So everything that we do to make what we have more efficient is absolutely the thing that we should be doing. I noticed that you had something there on the autonomous vehicles. Could you speak to that? Thank you.
They've been looking at that for several years. From what I understand, the challenges are, can a car recognize a tumbleweed differing from a child, the safety issues, liability issues, but I think they'll get there one day. And if they do, you could have dedicated lanes where the cars are all connected and smart cars and veer off and branch in different directions. Another thing we're looking at is, this is, it kind of blows my mind, some of the stuff that they come up with, where the toll gantries and signage actually talk to the computer in your car and on your GPS screen would tell you how much the toll is or how much time you save by taking the toll road. So we're even looking at stuff like that.
Thank you.
Great. It looks like Helen has her hand up.
Hi, Helen.
Thank you. Excellent and informative presentation. I was wondering, do our medical transportation programs that we heard about earlier, do they receive discounts for traveling on the toll roads?
If it's an emergency during operating hours, yes. If there's nothing going on and people are and they're just taking the toll roads to get to their station, then no. But yes, if it's emergencies like we're having right now in Laguna Niguel. Another thing that's happened in the last 20 years, I know we've had quite a few fires along the 241 San Diego, Jim fire. Mm-hmm. Fire department actually uses the toll road as a fire break and staging area when they fight the toll road. So, those tolls are lifted. Also, if CHP ever diverts traffic onto the toll road where you don't have a choice, a lot of people tell me, I don't have a transponder and CHP diverted me onto the road. Well, we do lift the tolls if the CHP uses them as alternatives during an accident or a fire evacuation.
I think, Jeff, that's really informative. I was really asking about our own county program, which provides non-emergency senior medical transportation. Do we use the toll roads for that transportation, and are there discounts for it's really an interagency program that I'm talking about?
No, I do not believe we do. The only discount we offer is the frequent driver's discount, $40 a month or more in every toll.
Okay, maybe Farah knows the answer to that. She's popping in.
Yeah, so I did listen in, Helen, and currently I'm not aware of us having any sort of discounts with the toll roads or OCTA at the moment. But let me look into that a little bit more with Rosario and Agewell and see if they have any agreements made with either one of those two agencies. And I can get back to you guys via email.
Thank you.
As well.
Yeah, because I think, you know, seniors perhaps are, because of financial reasons, reluctant to utilize the toll roads. So.
Definitely. I'd agree.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hand is up.
Thank you, Sandy. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you, Jeff and Amelia. I really appreciate your presentation. My concern is in Anaheim Hills. The fire we had last was about 2 years ago, and what a chaos and startling terror to know you can't get out of the hills. The freeway runs one way to get out. Would you guys have an emergency route where you just would move those barriers so everybody can just go one way out? Have you thought about it? You know, our population just keeps growing exponentially. And I guess that's my biggest concern, that I've been to some of those neighborhoods at the top of the hills, and believe me, you just would not be able to race against time to get down the hills and then just have that big pile up to get on the freeway to get the heck out of there. Have you guys done any pilot programs, any where you have actually had a community try your exit route?
I'll have Amelia go first.
Not that I'm aware of, but I just want to make sure that, so you say removing those barriers, do you mean channelizers?
Yeah, the big heavy white, you know, okay. Yeah, the concrete barriers.
I haven't heard anything about that, but I would think that there would be some difficulties, you know, operational-wise to remove those barriers in a short time. But I'll definitely pass along your information. And I do remember that fire. I live around the area. I live in Yorba Linda. So at that time, it took me 2 hours from the freeway to my son's school, which is only 1 mile away. And you know, at that time, of course, you know, everyone was freaking out that we don't know what's going on. And my son stayed at school until 7 o'clock. And I could have walked probably and I will get there. Right. But so I do understand your concerns. I'll definitely pass that information to our upper management so we can look into that, especially now there's so many fires going on right now every year. So I definitely understand your concern.
Thank you.
Well, my response would be up in the hills of the 240, around the 241 in the Anaheim Hills area is the county's Orange County Emergency Response Center, right up there on the 241. Mm-hmm. And as luck would have it, in about an hour, I'm going to be meeting with Tony Pointer with the Orange County Fire Watch and CERT, who works on that. And I'll ask him some of these questions, and you'll have to let me know who to get back to on that. And I do know that they have evacuation plans and stuff like that. I'll ask him about that area. In South County, I know there's one because of the nuclear domes down there and the tsunami area and wildfires, and having only the 5 is the only route in and out. I do know that they have evacuation plans where they make everything, both all lanes, go just north or south, depending on where the, so I would assume that we would have something similar up in our area. But when I see Tony in a couple hours, I'll ask him, and just let me know who to get back to on the response for that.
Yes, I'm really concerned about being proactive than reactive. It's just something that I touted a lot, knowing CERT is a wonderful group, very well orchestrated through our fire program. But mostly it's just, I need an exit route. Where is my exit route? How much time will this take? Are we going to have a channel I can turn to? Are you going to post it? You know, of course, not just the highway toll road, you know, call such and such a number, but just a routine, even if it's once a year, let's try a pilot program where people can actually get out of a community with some successful time, you know, 5 minute, 10 minute, 20 minute, what's it going to take to cut down that time? And you guys knowing ahead, this is our target. This is what we want to meet. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Very well said, Helen. I will mention on the Toros, there is an AM radio station, and there's signs which dial it is to find when there are emergencies.
Beautiful.
And of course, you all know the huge toll road signs, and OCTA has them as well, and they would have emergency information on those signs as well.
Thank you.
Thanks, Denise. Good question. Amelia.
So I live in Anaheim Hills, and I was evacuated during that fire that you're talking about, Denise. And since then, the city did implement an evacuation route while you were still on council. There are signs in Anaheim Hills that are posted showing everyone the evacuation route that we drive here in the hills every day. So there are the signs up there. But regarding what was mentioned about the 241, the 241 many times is where the fire starts. So yeah. They're not going to be evacuating vehicles through there. They typically close at 241 because of that's usually where they're fighting the fires.
Especially in the San Diego Canyon.
Right. But we do have that evacuation route already in place. And we have town halls where the PD and the fire department has gone over it several times. And it's brought up at every town hall. So that's already set in place here in Anaheim.
I guess my biggest concern is that elderly, especially the community I know up in the hills, they really have not been instructed, nor do they have something in hand when they leave their house. This is the way I'm going to go. This is the route best serves me, especially for town hall meetings. I don't even think they get a notice. So that's my biggest concern, that every door is knocked on, everyone has in hand that, and that you're working hand in hand with the OCTA and the toll roads. You guys are the lifeline to our community. So thank you very much.
Good questions. Any other questions? I don't see any other hands.
Jerry has his hand up.
Sorry, I just see your hand now, Jerry. Go ahead.
Okay, can we have this presentation through the email so we can take a look? You got me?
Happy to do that.
So Jerry's asking Jeff and Amelia if he could have the copy of, can you just send it all to Desiree? Is that okay with you, Desiree?
Yes, of course.
And then she'll send it out to us.
Thank you.
It's a lot of information, but it's almost too much.
One last question, please.
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
Could you guys make sure it's done in several languages? I think when it comes to our county, we just put it in Spanish and English, but we have a huge community in at least three or four other languages, and I think that would be advantageous. Thank you.
Good point. Anybody else? So later on, if we want to update on what's going on with the 405 toll, or I don't know if it's called a toll, but I guess it's a toll.
It is. 405 Express Lane. Yeah.
Express Lane. Thank you. Who would we get that from?
It will be me.
That would be you?
Yes.
Are you prepared to talk about that at all today?
Not yet. I might tag team with our operational side, because right now is really the construction phase, and I'm more in charge of marketing.
Okay. Would you let us know when would be a good time then to ask? Because just personally, sure. I'm curious what's going on.
Okay.
Seeing all the bridges and everything changing.
Sure.
Okay. Amelia, do you have a question still?
I just have another comment. Denise, if you can let me know which senior community that you're referring to that is not aware of the evacuation plan, I will make sure to get flyers to them and enough so everyone can have that in hand.
Thank you, Amelia. That's just what I'm looking for. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Maybe we should take that on as a project and make sure that each of the senior centers do have an evacuation plan for the seniors know where and what to do. I'll check with ours. I don't know if they do have that. I don't remember hearing about it.
Is this a discussion time, Sandy?
We're doing questions for Jeff and Amelia. And
then okay, great.
I just want to finish up with the questions, unless it has to do with this.
Jeff asked who to send the information to. Would that be Desiree?
He's going to send
Jeff, I'm sending an email now so that you can have my email on file.
Thank you so much, Desiree. Appreciate it.
And then Desiree will send it out to all of us. Okay, any other questions? Well, thank you both, Amelia and Jeff. That was very informative. Learned a lot. And thank you, everyone, for your questions. Those are great questions.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for taking the time.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Very good. Gene organized that, but he's not here today, so we'll have to thank Gene. That was very good. Okay, then moving on, go to the chair items. New business. I attended the April 26th accessible, well, they changed the name. Used to be OCTA Special Needs Transportation Committee, and now the name is, and I'll never remember this because it's too long, Accessible Transit Advisory Committee. How's that?
You can call it ATAC.
Yeah, that's what they've been calling it. So what they're talking about, so to remind everyone, this is an update for people that are involved using the bus and any special transportation, which includes seniors. And the of course, everything went way, way down during, this is our first in-person meeting. Everything transportation-wise during COVID went way down. Of course, the seniors weren't traveling. Even the bus ridership went down. But they did update us on some new programs they're coming up with. They have a easy wallet program for paratransit. And once you get this wallet, then you go online and you can make your own reservation instead of calling. I guess there were some issues with calling, but some of our seniors are still more comfortable with calling. Let's see, what else do I have here? They're still offering the eligibility access program from Gracie Davis. She'll meet with you if you need to prove that you're eligible to ride any of the special transportation. The other update that was, I just met with our Lake Forest Senior Advisory Board, and because there's the money from Measure M2, or is it Measure M, wasn't used during COVID, so our city is going to reduce the price of using the taxi program. So you might want to check with your cities to make sure that, because you don't want to lose that money. So in order not to lose that money, they're going to reduce the price. So for example, in Lake Forest, you can drive anywhere on the taxi within the city, and it was $3 and now it's going to $2. And if you go outside of the city and go to the hospitals, for example, it was $7, now it's going to $5. So I think it's a good way of using the funds as well as helping the seniors out, because they had to raise the prices before COVID. And let's see what's next. I'll put my sheet in here. And let me just remind everyone for our goals. It's about housing for all ages and stages, and then the affording the aging. And then number 8 will be announcements and roundtable for all members. And remember, keep it on topic. And we'll start with Cynthia. You still here, Cynthia?
Yes, I'm sorry. Okay. I kind of find that mute button. The only thing I know you said to stay on topic, but this is sort of on topic. Tomorrow is the general. And as senior liaison chair, we put that survey out. And I just want to remind everybody, if you couldn't get a hold of anybody, at least contact me or send me an email so I can update Elaine and everybody tomorrow. I appreciate it. Sorry about being off topic, but it's a great opportunity.
Okay.
We're all senior citizen liaisons, so.
It makes sense. It's on top. Yeah.
Thank you. I'm sorry. That's all I have.
Okay.
Thank you.
Carol Moore.
Sorry, go ahead. What was the question? My comments on the housing?
We're doing announcements and roundtable discussions. And
oh.
Do you have any questions or comments? And
I do not. I'm very pleased with our senior center, which actually isn't located in our city, but it serves our community. It's the one, it's actually located in Laguna Hills, but they do an excellent job for our seniors. And we work with them. And I've delivered Meals on Wheels there for close to, not quite 20 years, but a very long time approaching that. And I'm pleased with that. And I appreciate your mentioning the taxi vouchers. I thought we had made an adjustment, but I just sent an email, so I was in the middle of that. Thank you for bringing that up.
No problem. I just thought everyone should be aware because our prices had to go up, and then during COVID, and they're sitting on that money, and we don't want to lose that money.
I'm sorry. I'm just referring to the survey that we sent out that you were to contact and revert back on the success of the iPads and stuff like that. So
yeah, I knew what you meant. And then afterwards I was thinking you should probably tell everyone else because they probably don't know.
Yeah, I appreciate Carol, but it is about that survey that I need input back. Thanks.
Thank you. I didn't hear anything about the iPad. I did contact all the people that was suggested because it sounded like such a great program, and I did not hear back from them, so I'm not sure how many people were involved. I did contact, as I mentioned, Agewell. I contacted our own within the village, and I also contacted, I think it was a blind group, so I hope somebody took advantage. It certainly was a wonderful idea.
Okay. Anything else, Carol? Okay, Juno, I think you're muted, so you have to unmute yourself now. There you go.
Can you hear me?
Yes, now we can hear you.
Now, to be honest with you, I'm having a difficulty with my hearing aid and getting make it comparable to a Zoom system. I got too much echoes, and I have a situation I have to somehow change it. But what was the real questions, Sandy?
Oh, we're in the, if you look on your agenda, we're at number 8, and it's announcements and roundtable discussion. So all members have 1 minute to bring up something about housing and transportation. Could you hear me?
Yeah, I'm still working with Jerry. What can I do? But I have to be honest, I haven't done much at all at this point.
Okay. So no other comments?
No, I don't.
Okay, thank you. Amelia.
I don't have any comments.
No comments or questions? Okay. Helen.
I know we talked about planning future programs, and I was waiting to reach out about a July program that we talked about for the point in time count, and the actual data was released yesterday. And I want to point to one number. There were 718 seniors aged 62 and older who were still part of our homeless population. So that's an area where we definitely need to be paying attention and how to meet their needs for all housing for all ages and stages.
Oh, good point. And you're on the schedule to make a presentation, right, on that?
Well, I'm going to reach out now that I know the data has been released. I wasn't sure the timing of it, so I'm excited. And that plan was announced by the Board of Supervisors yesterday. Supervisor Chafee and Supervisor Wagner made a presentation on Facebook, and I think you can find the recording of that data, and there'll be a lot of slides. But if you are all in agreement, I will try and set up a presentation for our July meeting. I know we don't meet next month.
Right. I think that we had you down for July, so that would be perfect.
Yeah. Yes. Okay.
That would be an excellent presentation. Thank you. Oh, Carol has her hand up. Sorry, Carol.
I did. Thank you so much. I strongly approve of such a presentation. I really look forward to it, Helen. I did help with the count. When you said 718, was that, and I noticed, particularly since I had done the count the previous time, I did notice an increase in the age. I mean, it was evident to me, but remember, I'm only looking at a small number, so I didn't know it had an effect. Was the 718, was that for the entire county? Thank you for responding.
Yes. Yes, it was the entire county. The total numbers were down overall. The total point in time count was 5,718. And when we last did it in 2019, it was, I think, 6,800. So it was down by about 1,000 people. But I was on a Facebook link with a priest who runs a lot of homeless programs in North County. And he made a comment on his page. He said, since 2019, over 900 homeless people have died on the streets. So is there a correlation between the decrease in people and the deaths? Mainly they were overdose deaths. So we need to do a better job in providing those kind of resources for our communities. But lots of interesting data, and I think more analysis will be helpful. And hopefully I can get Doug Bex, who's the person who presented yesterday for the county, to come to our meeting.
Oh, that would be good. Helen, in the past, did we count seniors in the point in time count?
Yes, yes. We've always, two times, the last twice, we've had a more intensive interview process, and that's probably what Carol's referring to. My husband and I have done it for the last, I think, four times. So we've seen a change in the process, but we've always paid attention to veterans, young people, transitional age youth, and seniors. And we have a lot more information that can be shared. And every city has their own data that's being presented. So it'll be really interesting for us to look at that data and see what the impacts are. And I know many of you have been involved in this for a long time. So,
well, the data will be broken down by city as well?
It is broken down by city. You can see your own city data right now on the report. Yeah, which is exciting. Some of it was a decrease. I'm active in the Newport Beach homeless ad hoc committee. And we, in 2019, we had 64. This year we had 96. So even though we know a lot of the 64 have already been housed, our numbers were up. So we need to continue to do what we can to provide those housing options.
You know, Helen, one issue, I don't want to take too much time on this, but that I felt in the past we did ask and we did approach people in cars, if they're sleeping in cars. Two things that, and I can only speak for the area that I did because I can't speak for the wider count. I felt we got out too late. I'm on the morning count. The morning count's very early, and people who are sleeping in their cars tend to be up and about. If you don't get there early, you're going to miss them. So I felt a little challenged on that. I don't know if that happened to others. And the other one was that I know there's a safe people, they changed the technique due to possible safety issues, but if you don't approach the car and you don't, engage in some way, then you really don't confirm. And so I guess I had a little thought along that line. Thank you for listening.
That'll be a great conversation when we have our presenter. I had the opposite issue. I did the early morning count at 4:30. I think we arrived in Tustin. My count was all in Santa Ana, and there were way too many people for us to interview on the streets, lying on the sidewalk. You know, it was a misty, wet morning in Santa Ana. And, you know, you left thinking this is not good enough. We need to do better.
I shared that.
All right. Thank you. Elizabeth.
Well, thank you for mentioning that Lake Forest has reduced taxi prices. I emailed Melanie at my senior center and asked her if Mission Viejo has also received this reduced price regarding the taxi vouchers. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Ours isn't a voucher system. Ours is, they use their own credit card or cash, but they get an ID card from the city.
Yeah, that's what we have too.
Oh, okay.
So, but I thought you said vouchers.
Maybe I did, I didn't mean to.
Oh, because I heard vouchers, so that's what I typed to Melanie.
When we first started out, they kept referring it to as vouchers, and then they realized they didn't want it. They did vouchers for a while, let's put it that way, and then they switched to cash or credit card. So it's really nice for the seniors, because once you have your ID card and you call the taxi company, you make your own reservation, you do everything, it's 24/7, and it's wonderful. It's really helped a lot of the seniors. And like I said, if you go from one end of Lake Forest to the other, the taxi ride is about $32. So if you're paying $2 or $3, it's a deal. You can't get a gallon of gas for that.
Right.
Okay. Anything else, Elizabeth?
No.
No? Okay. Thank you. Denise?
Thank you, Sandy. And thank you to all of this group. I'm really always impressed every month, new information and how we can do better. I just wanted to bring up a couple things that are happening this weekend in Anaheim. We're having a spring boutique and a health fair and this is presented by the Anaheim Senior Citizens Club. It'll be this Saturday, May 14th from 9 to 3, and the health resource fair will be from 9 to 1. And that's at the downtown Anaheim Community Center, 250 East Center Street in Anaheim. And they're gonna have some light lunch and snacks, some gifts. They're also doing handmade items for sales and an opportunity for prizes and a bake sale. Should be very nice. They always do a great job. And then two really other wonderful things is we started a clinic. Well, I'm not going to call it a clinic, but it's under the name of Central City Community Health Center. It's every fourth Tuesday at our Brookhurst Community Center, and they roll in a huge mobile health unit, kind of like how CHOC does when they go from school to school. And with that, they're giving you health screenings, family planning, physical exams, vaccinations, blood work, pap smears, and free mammogram orders. I had presented these at the last Meals on Wheels the last couple of weeks, and several people took advantage of it, and they were very thankful, especially for mammograms for some women that just don't want to take all that time, but it's very necessary to get it done. And it also helps others get the physical exams that they've neglected to get during COVID. So this is every fourth Tuesday at the Brookhurst Community Center in Anaheim, 271 West Crescent Avenue. And it's best if you make an appointment. The number is 714-309-5046. So that's a really good resource for our seniors.
Denise, is there a charge for that?
Not that I'm aware of. Oh, it doesn't say there is. So it says everyone should take access to medical services regardless of income, race, language, sexual orientation, age, or legal status.
Wow. If you find out there's a fee, will you let us know?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Too. That's wonderful.
Yeah. And then the other thing was seniors are still getting either evicted or, of course, the landlord is raising the rent and they're having to either find someone else to live with or be thrown out. And I contacted Anaheim and we still have money available under the Anaheim Senior Safety Net. So this is an awesome program. I'm really glad that we started it and that seniors, again, Senior Safety Net program. And you can call 714-765-4500. Now this is for counseling. And it says now Anaheim seniors can get emergency help in up to a year of rental assistance under the city program. This includes emergency assistance, including moving costs up to $1,000 for a move to stable housing or to secure housing after being displaced, rent catch-up, up to $3,000 or 2 months rent for someone who has fallen behind in payments, first and last assistance, up to $3,000 for first and last month's rent, security deposit up to $3,000 for 2 months rent. Other expenses considered case by case for expenses that impact someone's ability to pay for housing with a maximum of $4,000. So this is for Anaheim seniors 62 and older can qualify for rental assistance payments for 6 months with extensions not to exceed 12 months. They prioritize low-income seniors, spending up to 15% of their income on rent. Qualifying seniors pay 50% of their monthly income toward rent, with city payments covering the balance, up to the Anaheim Housing Authority's fair market rent payments standards of $1,526 for a one-bedroom and up to $3,052 for a three-bedroom. Again, the number is 714-765-4500. And if you don't get through, give me a call. I have the direct number to the gentleman who is operating this program. I've been able to get this word out so that people or friends that you know that live in Anaheim can take advantage of this. I'm very excited to still have the lifeline there. So thank you very much, Sandy.
That's a good program, Denise. I know you said it's Anaheim. Mm-hmm. Is they who's sponsoring this? I mean,
the city. The city has actually reorganized some money, but it's also saying the $350,000 in rent assistance for qualifying seniors funded by Federal Home Investment Partnerships Program money. And $350,000 for emergency housing assistance is funded by former Anaheim Redevelopment Agency money that can be used for emergency housing services. And then $45,000 for case management and counseling funded by Federal Community Development Block Grant, which is the CDBP. Well, this is different CDBP money. So we're using lots of resources there, all to fund one major housing program.
Wow, that's a great program.
Yeah, I think it was well put together and really helps give the money a big boost. You know, we have such a huge city and it's like funding five different cities at all one time. But to know that there's still money left was very encouraging.
How do you think they're getting the word out?
You know, I really try to figure out how any word gets out. I talk to people, mostly though, that speak English. I don't find enough literature in other languages. And especially at the Orange County Meals on Wheels, you have every
type of community out there, whether it's Asian, Mexican, Filipino. So I just give them what I have, and if I can translate it, I give them that. But it really needs to get to people probably in the senior centers mostly, which, you know, is a good place. And then just word of mouth, next door, you know, just, well, Helen would know how to get the word out. It's wonderful to be involved and at the really immersed, huh, Helen, to be able to get the word out and know the right people to contact, whether it's in a retirement home or just a senior community. But that's my biggest push. It needs to be in every language. It needs to be out there on a regular basis so we don't have anybody falling through the cracks. Thanks, Sandy.
Oh, very good. Excellent. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Linda Barcelona.
Sorry about that. No, I don't have anything really.
Okay.
Sorry, I was late today too.
No problem. Yeah. Okay. Charlene.
Thank you, Sandy. And my 5 months on this committee, I'm constantly encouraged and inspired by all of you. It's really amazing. And you lit a fire under me to be really intentional on senior issues, housing and transportation. First of all, I appreciate Cynthia's reminder to follow up with the survey. It was an opportunity for me to speak with my director at the center and push her a little bit, encourage her to get that survey completed. I attended our first full event at the Senior Center last Wednesday. It was our Mother's Day event, and we had well over 100 men and women who were there, and they were just so thrilled to be back. And so I got to talk a little bit about how do you get here and what do you do and what have you been doing. And I was seated next to a woman, anecdotally, who was our first taxi rider, she said, I've been doing it for 2 years, and I want you to know I am the first person in the city to use that service. And she's legally blind, and she says, I only have two large numbers next to my phone. She brought out her cell phone with the letters that are very large on it, and one is the taxi service, and one is the social worker at the senior center. So the word is getting out there, but really, again, if whatever venue you use, if it is being really active at your center or through your networks, it's very important. And I'd also like to let you know that this Saturday, many of us will be supporting Love Costa Mesa Day. It's a 3-hour volunteer opportunity that is sponsored by Trellis, and in conjunction with our city, there are opportunities. We will be repairing fences and yard work for seniors in our community. My family will be taking care of our neighborhood park with a group of people. So there are a lot of activities that we can do to try to make a change in our own community. So thank you. And I'm really looking forward to the point in time count information, Helen. We've seen anecdotally in just the last week, a lot of homeless activity in our parks, Fairview, Talbert Park. So people are being moved around, and we need to get that information out and services to our unhoused seniors. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Then for my part, and Denise, you can probably talk to this. There was an article in the paper about a troublesome motel, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. It's T-A-M-P-I-C-O, Tampico.
Tampico.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I knew I was going to pronounce it wrong. It's in Anaheim, and it's going to be converted into affordable housing. And they said it's 3 miles from the Angel Stadium. And it was approved for a $96 million settlement with the state over Surplus Land Act. And it says the city's motel conversion program passed in 2019. The 32-room motel will soon become an affordable housing site after Anaheim pledged to purchase the half-acre property for $5.3 million. So I just thought it was interesting to point out that this happened in 2019. Just shows you how slowly this stuff moves along. But anyway, it's good. It's not a whole lot of people that they can house, but it's always a step forward. What do you know about it, Denise?
Anaheim has already, this is like their fourth or fifth project. Even when I was in office, I went to many ribbon cuttings for, especially senior projects, turning motels into affordable housing. Well, and senior citizen projects are not always affordable, but it's good to get our hands in there and turn them around than just knock them down and make some other housing. They already have the structure. You just have to change the CUP. And really, it's a good lifeline. Most of them are one story, so you're not having problems with up and down. And they're really in good communities where there's already shopping centers and people already know the community. So I'm very proud to say that the more we get rid of the old, dilapidated motels, turn them around with good developers, spruce up the area, you'll find that you can really thrive and make it safe. And then people see that, you know, we're really investing in our seniors and our community. I think it's sad when we don't do it fast enough, but it does take time. As you know, we have several other things going on in the city, whether it's the Honda Center, turning around that whole area by that center, and Disneyland's new timeshare project coming on board. Anaheim, if you understand, we're 360,000 people. That's like five cities.
Yeah.
So you can't, we didn't even have the staff sometimes because of COVID, we had to lay people off. But when you can still put things in the queue and make them happen within a year or two, as Helen would know, that's amazing. And that's what we want to see, more and more projects where these mom and pop places, even if they're not mom and pop, would rather take the carrot and help partnership with us to turn this around.
It said that they were trying to acquire the Kona Inn on Brookhurst last year, but they couldn't come to an agreement on the price. And that was a 26-room motel. And then the other one that I saw in the paper had to do with Tustin. Mm. And that one is going to be called the House of Ruth. And that one started on May 3rd, and it's going to be transitional housing, homeless, as well as homeless. It's an 18,000 square foot lot donated by the city of Tustin. And the project's being led by Family Promise of Orange County, an organization that mobilizes volunteers from faith-based community to end homelessness in OC. And the House of Ruth will offer apartment-style housing units ranging from 1 to 3 bedrooms in an effort to support larger and multi-generational families, which can't always be accommodated by other housing programs. And this site will have a community resource center with services like washing machines, computers, credit repair counseling, employment assistance, case management, housing navigation, and private bathrooms with showers. Even if you don't live at the House of Ruth, you'll be able to access the center, a resource Family Promise of Orange County executive director said. And they're concerned that families that have no place to go right now are pretty limited. So they wanted to offer them some services as well. And $3 million has been raised to date with donations from local congregations, foundations, corporations, and individuals like Jeltama and his wife, Sally, who donated the first $50,000 to get the project started. And if you want more information, visit familypromiseorangecounty.org. So I thought that was kind of interesting. And they said Tustin's doing a pretty good job of trying to stay on top of this housing issue, homelessness and whatever. So everyone's had their turn. Do we have any public comments? We have any public?
We did not receive any requests in advance, and we do not have any members of the public present this morning.
Okay. And then as a reminder, next month will be dark. So the next meeting will be, what is it, July something? July 14th. So any other comments or anything before we close out?
Just a quick heads up that Elaine did send an email yesterday that there will be a special meeting on July 10th because of AB 361. We cannot let the 30-day lapse, otherwise we lose the authority to continue meeting virtually. So there will be a special meeting for all committees and boards on June 10th, Friday, June 10th.
June 10th. For some reason I wrote down July. Okay, so everybody remember June 10th, check in, and it'll just be a few minute meeting where we vote and then you can just check out. Oh, Denise has her hand up.
Yeah, I just wanted to maybe make a suggestion and see what you guys thought about it. You know, the more we hear about racing cars, you know, going through different cities and tearing up intersections and people getting hurt with all this racing, I'm like, why are we making cars that are going so darn fast to begin with? Could we not maybe work together with Mr. Poynter with the California State legislator or seniors legislation and get the car makers to just stop making cars that go so dang fast? And especially I think even if they made a line of cars for seniors, you would never want a senior to be behind the wheel and lose their faculties and end up going 90 or high, you know, even 70 or higher, and then, you know, there's no recourse. I think that in point in time, it should be discussed. I'd like to have a little discussion if any of you would like to at least sleep on it and see if we can't get some sort of legislation to help our community to slow down, start to really think of safety for seniors and themselves, and see if that can't even bring the cost down on automobiles. But it's just a thought. I like to have a little feed, a little thinking there.
I would like to say something. That's not a state thing. California senior legislature has proposals, bills for the state of California. Mm-hmm. And that wouldn't be a state thing. That would be national.
And the comment, I think it's a good point, but the comment I would make, Denise, is that if you watch some of the racing of the cars, it's not the brand new car. Sometimes it's the older cars, the classic cars and whatever. So we've had cars go fast forever. And I hear you, it makes total sense, but I don't know how you can, I mean, we can discuss it, but I don't know how we could get that to be changed. I don't know how the government would ever be able to step in and go to the manufacturers and say, slow down your cars.
Yeah, I think what impressed me most was when I saw the very first commercial where some teenagers were on their phone and got in an accident. Boy, did that hit me like a ton of bricks. You know, it tends to be where it's things kind of out of our control, but we just have to take the precautions. But if we could get the manufacturers to wake up and realize that at some point in time, it's not necessary, but that's just my two cents. So anyway, thank you.
No problem. And the thing you have also have to think about is they're predicting now children that are born now up to about the age of 5 will never learn to drive. There will be other ways of transportation. So eventually, you're right, this could come to an end. I can't imagine being without a car, but that's what they're saying. Okay, so that's something for us to think about. Okay, anything else before we adjourn? Any other hands that I missed or anything? Thank you as usual, Desiree, for keeping us on track and all your help. She's been fabulous organizing these speakers and everything this time. Since Jean wasn't here, we had some issues.
No problem, thank you.
Thank you very much. All right, if there's nothing else, then we'll adjourn for today. And I wanna thank everyone for your attendance, your comments, your questions, and everything you do for the seniors. I think sometimes we forget to thank everybody because we're doing a great job helping everybody out, bringing the programs and the information to everybody. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.